All right, good afternoon, everyone. Calling the May 16th, 2025 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at exactly 1:30 p.m. Looking to our agenda, our next item of business is roll call.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Sean Williams.
Present.
Charlene Marbs. Shelley Donald.
Present.
Michael Corrente.
Present.
Alara Selman.
Present.
Our AAG Mark Harris.
Present.
And myself, Shana Ganatra, present.
All right, considering we have established a quorum with the majority of board members present today, our next item of business is agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare at this time?
This is Shelley Donald. I do not.
Sean Williams, I do not.
Mike Carenti, I do not.
All right, and Chris Daly, I have none. Considering there are no conflicts to discuss, moving on to agenda item 4, discuss, amend, and approval of meeting minutes. We have the item 4.1, regular session meeting minutes of April 25th, 2025. All board members were present for that meeting, and those meeting minutes have been previously distributed. Are there any corrections or discussion pertaining to those meeting minutes? Hearing no questions or discussions, I move to adopt the April 25th, 2025 meeting minutes as distributed.
Sean Williams, I second that.
Moved and seconded, all in favor.
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion carries. Moving on to agenda item 5, call to the public. Just a quick clarification here. Anybody in the meeting with us at this time who is actually on our agenda, this is not your time to speak. We will get to you when we are at your agenda item. This is for any members of the public who have joined us today who would like to address the board. Although please note, we are not able to answer your questions during this meeting, but if it is so warranted, a member of the board will follow up with you after the meeting today. Are there any members of the public who would like to address the board? Nicole.
Thank you. My name is Nicole Munstock. I am the program director for the Occupational Therapy Assistant Program at Pima Medical Institute. I just wanted to join today to see if we could get any updates on timelines for approving licensure and any common deficiencies that you guys have been seeing. It seems like it's still taking our graduates quite a while to get licensed, and I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that our accreditors have a specific timeline for us to prove that our graduates are working after they graduate from our program. And currently the licensure process is what takes the longest and is actually putting us at risk for not being in compliance with our accreditors at this point. So I just wanted to see if we can get some updates on that so I can support our graduates when they apply for licensure, make sure that they have everything in place, and we can speed up the process as much as possible.
Thank you. Will do.
Ms. Munstock, could you provide contact information so we reach out? We can reach back out to you?
Sure. Can I just put that in the chat for you?
That'd be great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Ms. Munstock. Really appreciate your time and attention to this. Anything additional from members of the public? I'll just pause half a minute because this is your chance. All right. Well, thank you again, Ms. Munstock. We really do appreciate you joining us today. Hearing nothing additional from members of the public, moving on to agenda item 6, review, discussion, and possible action on future board meeting schedule. And we have the item 6A, June 13th, which was scheduled to be in person, but we're going to see. So Ms. Ganatra, is this reflected on the new agenda that the July might be in person, or are we just chatting about it?
We're just chatting, and then we'll reflect that on the next month's meeting. And if I may, I just had briefly discussed it with Mr. Daly, wondered if the board members would consider moving the in-person meeting to July 11th. June is the end of the fiscal year. With all that is going on, we as a board would graciously appreciate if we can consider a July meeting, in addition to the fact that we do have an individual that's being seen potentially in July that would likely require us to be in person. I wanted to propose that, and the date, if that's appropriate as well for all to attend in person, let me know, or we can always look at a reschedule if necessary on the date.
It's fine with me. I can do either one in person. I have no problem. I do want to say, though, it looks like the August 4th meeting, it says on the agenda, August 4th is a Monday.
Thank you for catching that, Ms. Donald. That looks like it was a typo.
Okay, so it should be the 8th.
It must have been the 8th. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
This is Mike. I can do any other Friday in July. I'll just be out that Friday.
Oh, you'll be out on July the 11th.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be able to attend in person if we moved the date potentially?
I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. I'll leave it to the others to see if that's considered or if we just.
I unfortunately am not available any other Friday. The 4th is a holiday, and then I'm out of town the 18th and the 25th. So.
This is Sean. I am available.
Okay.
And I did have a note from Ms. Marbs from last meeting that she is most likely not available on July 11th either.
Okay. It seems we'd have a quorum. We just wouldn't have everyone in person. I'd like to propose then we still maintain that date as we still meet quarterly. So we'd see each other again in person a few months later, regardless if everyone can't make it.
So are we going to do both meetings virtual, or you want to move the in-person one to the 11th?
The in-person would be to the 11th of July. Sure. And then we would turn the June into a virtual meeting. I don't believe a vote is necessary unless we're changing a date, so we can just administratively make that change. Thank you.
So just to clarify, we were looking at it will be 6A June 13th virtual, 6B July 11th in person, and 6C August 8th virtual.
Correct.
All right, seems like we have that worked out for now. Moving on then to agenda item 7, review consideration and possible action, complaints, investigations, and compliance. 7A, initial review of complaint, we have none. 7B, review, discussion, and possible action of whether or not to open a complaint, we have none. And 7C, review, discussion, and possible action on self-disclosure of actions, we have none. Moving on then to agenda item 8, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. Agenda item 8A, initial applications, board review. We have the matter of 8A1, Amy Flashar, if I'm saying that correctly. Is Ms. Flashar here with us today?
Yes.
And Ms. Flashar, how badly did I just mispronounce your last name?
Oh, it's okay. It's Flashar.
Flashar. Thank you so much. Okay, so the matter of Amy Flashar. And Ms. Flashar, thank you so much for joining us today. Typically, what we do is just provide a brief overview of the disclosure, give you a chance to address the board if you would like to provide some additional context or make a statement. And then, as per the open meeting, we'll have a discussion amongst ourselves, the board members, about this particular case, and we may have some questions for you along the way. So that okay. being, thank you so much. So that being said, in brief review, Ms. Flashar submitted an initial OTA licensure application on April 13th, 2025, where she disclosed two separate past incidents. Based on the packet, there were a couple of different dates, one pertaining to either 1998 or 2000, where she was cited for driving with expired tags, missed the court date, and spent a few hours in county jail. And then more recently, incident from April 2022, where she was cited for reckless driving and DUI, entered a diversion program with a one-year interlock in her car, and charges were later dismissed in May of 2022. Ms. Flashar did include a detailed written statement as well as all legal documents. And Ms. Flashar, would you like to address the board at this time?
I wrote in my written statement, I don't know if they have that, but
yes.
I just explained the situation. It was an accident, like something that never will occur again. I did things to make sure it'll never happen again. So I'm a single mom. I was working two jobs and school, and I did graduate, and I'm just excited to move forward.
Thank you so much. Ms. Flashar, did you have any trouble getting your level one fingerprint clearance card?
No. I got it here up in Prescott Valley. I actually got a job up here. I'm just waiting on the license, but no, I did not have any problems.
All right, great. And just looking, the first incident, was that 1998 or was it 2000? Do you know for sure?
It was 1998, and I rewrote a statement and fixed it. It's been so long ago. I actually had to call and like clear the whole thing up. I worked in the Farmington Municipal School District for 10 years. And I had to get that all cleared up before they actually hired me. It was just a minor traffic violation.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right. Any questions from board members?
I'd like to make a motion. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
This is Shelley Donald. I would like to make a motion to approve the initial application for Ms. Blazar.
I would second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you so much, Ms. Blazar, for your time with us today. Welcome to Arizona, and we wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on then to agenda item 8A2. The matter of Nicholas Bruno, initial disclosure. Is Mr. Bruno here with us today?
Present.
Hello, Mr. Bruno. Thank you so much for joining us. As you may have heard me explain earlier, typically what we do is just provide a little overview of this disclosure, give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose, and then we'll have some discussion and probably ask you a few questions.
Sure.
So in very brief summary, the initial OTA licensure application disclosure from April 16th, 2025, where Mr. Bruno disclosed four separate past incidents. First one being May of 2013, which was criminal mischief, later reduced to disorderly conduct for breaking a dormitory door. He did include a written statement and all legal documents pertaining to that incident. Second one was January of 2015, was a charge for possession of marijuana. Mr. Bruno did include a written statement and a legal document, which was a certification of disposition. The next incident was October 2015. For possession and use of marijuana while in a parked vehicle. Mr. Bruno did include a written statement, although no legal document was available for this incident. And then December of 2018, charge of disorderly conduct and criminal mischief due to minor destruction of hotel property. Mr. Bruno did include a written statement as well as a letter from the attorney who represented him during that time, which did state that Mr. Bruno entered into a diversion program and his record was later expunged. Mr. Bruno, would you like to provide any additional clarification or address the board at this time?
Firstly, I'd like to say that these incidents happened when I was drinking. I am an alcoholic, and I have not drank in more than 2 years now. So that kind of activity and behavior is behind me. That's in my past. I'm doing school. I've got this career to move forward in. So I'm very hopeful for my future, and that's not something that will ever happen again. Secondly, the two pot charges in New Jersey, I did do some research on that, and those are all expunged after New Jersey had legalized recreational marijuana. And on that website, when I looked it up, it said that you do not need to disclose these things. I'd rather be, honest and put everything out there. But I believe that those are not required of me.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bruno. Thank you for your candor and explanation there. And members of the board, just looking through here, certainly we typically take into consideration if there's anything involving moral turpitude, the circumstances surrounding the various incidents and disclosures. One thing I did want to have a discussion about is we typically do look for at least a legal document per disclosure. And, you know, according to the folder and Mr. Bruno's statement, we do not have a legal document available for the October 2015 incident. And just wanted to have a discussion there. How concerned are members of the board regarding that missing piece?
This is Shelley. I'm speaking for myself. I'm not super concerned. He's been very transparent with everything he's provided us. You know, these are 10 years old, and I think we've had some ongoing discussions about, like, this is, you know, 10 years is a long time. I appreciate his candor and honesty. So as far as I'm concerned, I'm not overly concerned about this. If it were all of them, I might be like, but no, not at all. Not in this case.
Thank you, Ms. Donald. And Mr. Bruno, did you have any trouble getting your NBCOT certification, your C?
No, not at all.
And any trouble getting your level one fingerprint clearance card?
No, not at all. I've had that for a while, yeah.
Okay.
This is Sean. I would have to agree on the lines with Shelley that with the time frames, how old were you when you were going through this, Nicholas, if you don't mind me asking?
This was early 20s, okay. You know, young and dumb, thinking I'm having a good time.
Right. So, you know, I know we make errors and we made mistakes in that too. And I, honestly, you know, I believe that you've been fairly transparent with the rest of it all. So for me, I don't have any concerns at this time myself.
Thank you.
And Mr. Bruno, I am just curious about one item. We always like to get a little feedback. We've been seeing variations in occupational therapy student academic programs and how they prepare folks for licensure preparation. Was there ever any class or information provided, you know, that if in terms of getting professional licensure, if you ever did have a history of a misdemeanor or anything of that nature, that you would have to supply that and all legal documents? Because I'm just thinking, if you knew that 2 years ago, this wouldn't have been such a surprise to you and scrambling to locate all of these things. Did that ever come up in your schooling?
So not directly. There was, you know, the small background check, you know, in the beginning of schooling. And from my understanding, if you can get into school, the rest should be all good. When I learned about the more details about it and how much I needed to provide, first was at my first field work placement. They needed a disclosure, but not at this extent. So I was unaware the extent of which you needed information.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much. Just doing a little information gathering there.
Sure.
I also don't have any grave concern over this one missing legal document. I do believe Mr. Bruno has been very honest and upfront and transparent with us. He's not trying to hide anything that happened. I have no concerns myself. Is anyone thinking they might want to make a motion?
Sure, I will. This is Shelley Donald. I do have a quick question. This is, Mr. Bruno, this is your initial application, right?
Correct.
I want to make sure I get the wording right. I would like to make a motion to approve the initial application for Mr. Bruno.
This is Sean Williams. I would second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion carries. Mr. Bruno, thank you so much for all of your time and attention to this and your due diligence. We really do appreciate it. And for you joining us today, we wish you the very best in Arizona.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate y'all.
Thank you. All right, moving on then to agenda item 8A3, the matter of Vernice Lopez. Is Ms. Lopez here with us today?
Yes. Hi, I'm here.
Hi, Ms. Lopez. Thank you so much for joining us. As you probably have heard by now, we typically just do a quick review of your disclosure, give you an opportunity to provide any additional information to the board, and then have a discussion. So in very brief review, the matter of Ms. Lopez submitted an initial OTA licensure application on April 13th, 2025, where she disclosed a July 2024 domestic incident that ultimately resulted in misdemeanor charges of disorderly conduct and criminal trespass. Ms. Lopez did provide a written statement and all legal documents. She successfully completed a diversion program, including domestic violence counseling, and the charges have since been dismissed. Board members and myself will need to have a little bit of a discussion pertaining to disclosure at time of incident. But Ms. Lopez, would you like to provide any additional information to the board at this time?
I would like to just say I'm willing to answer any questions to help the board understand that this incident does not define me as a person. Since then, I have been seeing a private therapist and have grown and learned coping strategies to help manage my stress. I've also completed a few CEUs because it's been a while since I've graduated from Pima Medical Institute and taken my NBCOT. And I don't know if you guys received a letter of recommendation this morning that I got from Michelle, who is a program director at PMI in Tucson. So.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lopez. So first off, in terms of the disclosure itself, again, personal domestic matter, no concern over any issue with moral turpitude or anything of that nature. This is typically the type of disclosure, we just chat about and review. But the one thing that is missing, that it does actually come up quite a bit, there is a lack of public awareness regarding mandatory reporting of a misdemeanor charge at the time it occurs. And that is actually a Arizona revised statute that we all have to follow. So it does appear that, just to clarify, Ms. Lopez, during the time of that incident in the summer of 2024, and when you did receive those misdemeanor charges, did you inform the board at all at that time?
So I was, I had just taken my NBCOT, and then I found out that I had passed, and I was filling out an application online, and then this incident happened. So I withdrew the application online, and I thought, because I wasn't, I guess, very well educated on how to go about this, I thought that me withdrawing that application and filling out a new one saying that, yes, I have been arrested, I thought that was okay. I wasn't well educated in that part.
No, and you know what, Ms. Lopez, I am backtracking. I am mixed up in my mind.
I was gonna say, and this was an initial
I have this, I'm so sorry. Yes, so initial disclosure, good for you to know for future reference, but I have a feeling that you will not ever have to disclose anything again.
Yeah, right.
You're I'm so sorry, you're exactly right. I was mixed up in my old brain. So initial disclosure, initial application, there was no mandatory reporting. So thank you, Ms. Lopez. Is any questions or discussion from board members regarding this? Or if not, is there a motion?
Sure, I'll make a motion. This is Shelley Donald. I would like to make a motion to grant the initial application for Ms. Lopez.
Mr. Sean Williams, I'll second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries. Ms. Lopez, thank you so much for your time with us today. We really do appreciate it. Welcome to Arizona, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I'd just like to say thank you all for your time and listening in. Am I allowed to leave?
Board
yes. Ms. Lopez, yes. Yes.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right, moving on then to agenda item 8B, renewal reinstatement applications. We have the matter of 8B1, Joanna Rosier, possibly?
Rosier, yes.
Rosier, Ms. Rosier, thank you so much for joining us today. As you've probably heard, we're just going to give a quick overview of your case, give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose, and then have a discussion. So in brief review, Ms. Rosier submitted a reinstatement. Her OT license expired on April 7, 2025. She submitted a reinstatement application on April 25th, 2025. From April 8th to April 24th, Ms. Rosier did practice without a license. She provided a written statement regarding the oversight, and the matter is now before us. Ms. Rosier, is there anything you would like to add or clarify at this time?
No, those are the facts. It was 10 days. I happened to have a vacation during that time. And so it was really just until the 18th that I had practiced. I have moved here. This is my first cycle of renewal here in Arizona. I've had my license for 25 years in other states. And this is the first time I've missed it. I missed the emails because they came from a place I didn't see. And in Illinois, where I have lived for 20 years, it's all done December 31st, no matter when you get your license. So it wasn't on my radar, and that is my fault. But my employer was able to find it during a licensor check. And so as soon as I realized that I was out of compliance, I stopped seeing anybody right away. I actually tried to drive to your building, which I found out doesn't exist, which was funny, weird, but I believe in the licensure. I'm 100% behind it. I have supervised CODAs who have let theirs lapsed and had to, be like, I'm not supervising you. I'm firmly behind it. It was my fault in missing that detail. And I would just ask for my license to be reinstated as soon as I realized I did not practice at all, because I believe in the process. So
thank you so much, Ms. Rosier, for
One more thing. Should say, like, my company as well has been very supportive and very great, and they have submitted for all of the money that everything that I submitted during those 10 days, they have resubmitted and given back and done all of those things as well. They've been really, really great about the whole thing. So
thank you so much. So in brief discussion, this is something we do encounter often enough that we do have a matrix that we follow so that we're consistent in how we handle practicing without a license. So members of the board, this is the situation where we are you know, in just in open discussion, we are certainly able to approve the reinstatement application. But although we are able to approve it and issue it, we, in keeping consistent with our standards of practice, we also would need to open a complaint for violation of ARS 32-34-01-10Z, failing to renew a license while continuing to practice occupational therapy. Is there any discussion or questions from board members?
Yes, Mrs. Rozier, what setting are you practicing in?
I am working at SOAR Autism Center, and it is early intervention for autism from 0 to 6.
And your company was able to submit and to reimburse for the services that you did provide?
Yes. I do have, if you want to corroborate, there's someone from my company here that can corroborate that for you if that's something that you want.
And that's okay, Ms. Rozier. We, the board actually doesn't get mixed up in billing or reimbursement or anything of that nature. So thank you for letting us know, but that is not something that we provide any oversight over.
I don't have a problem. Any other issues besides just following the matrix of these situations as we do see them?
I don't either. I was going to ask for a reminder, and I think you said it very eloquently, Mr. Daly, but we would make a motion to potentially, and this is a reinstatement?
Yes.
Yes, a reinstatement, and then open up a separate motion to open a complaint for the, I just lost my wording, but so it's two motions, right?
You are correct, Ms. Donald.
All right. Okay. I can make a motion. This is Shelley Donald. Oh, unless somebody has another comment, I don't mean to interrupt anyone. Okay. All right. I'd like to make a motion to grant the reinstatement OT license for Ms. Rozier.
Rozier. Either way is fine. I'm happy.
All right.
Chris Daly, I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
So a motion carries unanimously for the approval of the reinstatement application. And then, Ms. Donald, would you like to try the next one as well?
I would like to try it. All right. Again, this is Shelley Donald. I would like to make a motion to open a complaint against Ms. Rozier for practicing without a license in violation of ARS 32-34-01.
Chris Daly, I'll second the motion. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Ms. Rozier, unfortunately, we just have to, this is the only way we can proceed by, so your application is reinstated at this time, but we do have to open the complaint and then address the complaint at the next board meeting. It is nothing to lose sleep over. But it's the only way we can proceed. But if I may, we follow a matrix to be consistent in these situations. And if it's an incident where it's practicing without a license for less than 30 days, it's typically just a letter of non-disciplinary letter of concern, but we just have to open the complaint and then close it again.
Yeah. If I may, Ms. Rosier, so the board will be in touch with you to allow you a time to respond to the complaint.
Okay.
And then we will invite you to a subsequent meeting.
Okay.
Of which then, as Mr. Daly mentioned, the complaint would be reviewed.
Okay.
And that makes sure. Yeah. And your reinstatement was approved by the board. However, it has to be administratively approved by us at board staff. So if you can allow a few business days to process that, and then you should see an email with your approval.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Ms. Grozier. We really appreciate your time with us today.
I appreciate yours too. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, moving on to agenda item 8B. To the matter of Lorinda Fleming. Is Ms. Fleming here with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, Ms. Fleming was invited but did not provide a response.
All right. In that case, in quick review, Ms. Fleming submitted a renewal OT application on March 26th, 2025, for a license due to expire on April 1st, 2025. During that renewal, she disclosed a May 12th, 2024 misdemeanor charge of DUI, where the court order is still currently in process. Ms. Fleming did include a written statement and all available legal documents to date. And this is where my brain was mixed up earlier. So this is a situation where we do have a renewal disclosure for something that commonly doesn't warrant a whole lot of discussion or debate. It's not a crime of moral turpitude. But in this case, Ms. Fleming did neglect to inform the board in May of 2024 of her misdemeanor charge.
After reading some of the initial statements she did disclose, it does state that she was sitting in a car on private property and she didn't want to disturb the neighbor. She was did not know that she had that it was illegal to have open bottle in the car. But there's failure to also explain that she wrecked the vehicle. That's why she was sitting there. So I do think it would be worth, speaking to her a little bit more about the situation. If you look at the citation, it was a little bit more than just sitting in the parking lot, as far as I was concerned.
But I think she sent an additional, papers, darn it. I think she submitted a second, because I thought the same thing, but she did submit a second email. Let me find it. Well, good luck to me, because I can't. I'll be back. Just kidding. Hold on.
Update a written statement.
I think you are correct, McDonald. It might be the updated written statement she sent in on May 13th.
I mean, I still didn't think it was a perfect match, but I think it was a little more descriptive in what actually happened. Sorry, Sean, I hope I didn't interrupt you, but I had the same feeling, and then I read a little bit more.
Yeah, I see where she's got a little bit more. I think I overlooked that one.
And this is a situation, since it's her renew application was submitted prior to expiration. Ms. Fleming currently does still have an active OT license. If we continued the matter to another meeting, it wouldn't impact her ability to work. I do agree. I would like to, considering everything, it might be nice to just have a conversation with her. But if the other board members think, in light of that expanded explanation, if that's sufficient, our other avenue could be, we could approve the renewal application and then open a complaint regarding the violation of ARS 32-3208AD. Or we could continue the matter and do that another time.
This is Shelley. Sorry, I found my papers again. If you and Mr. Daly, if you and Mr. Williams feel strongly that you'd like to speak with her, I'm totally okay with that. I don't necessarily think I do, but I do respect that. That's what you guys would, and I'm okay in either direction, whether we have her come in and speak, that's fine with me too, or request that she come in.
You guys, I'm trying to get all the cases squared away. So did she attend counseling or anything for her state? I don't see anything I'm looking at right now.
Take a quick peek here.
Don't see anything as far as the follow-up. And, you know, my only worries for her is she, you know, you're grieving, I get it. There's issues that come about. I know this was a situation that seems to be correlated with an event, you know, as far as some stressful event. But, you know, has she received help? Is she dealing with the issue? Especially if you're choosing to drink in a parking lot, things like that. Just those are some of the questions I had for her too.
And Mr. Williams, I do see scrolling way down, there is a record of some payments that have been made, as well as a letter from Psychological and Family Consultants confirming that counseling has been attended. Initial intake was on June 4th, 2024, and counseling appointments were attended on June 26th, July 23rd, August 10th, the 20th, 9, 3, and 9, 18. Okay. With good results, it does appear.
Okay.
And she's attested to the fingerprint clearance card and all that stuff as well, correct? And that's all good. Nothing else needed for her application, I'm taking. Yeah, okay.
That's correct, Ms. Donald. And I'll defer to Ms. Salmon if I'm missing anything on that.
I'm currently double verifying as we're speaking.
Well, in light of further discussion and review of all of that, I don't feel a strong need to ask questions about this particular disclosure.
And just to confirm, fingerprint clearance card is not impacted.
Okay. It was not.
Thank you.
So in regards to what the findings, because I missed that, and I apologize, I did not scroll all the way down. I thought I did. I don't really necessarily have too many concerns at this time. We all understand people are human, and we see this as clinical practitioners. quite a bit from patients that, you know, you go through episodes like this. So for me, you know, understanding that she's a human, I don't have many concerns right now.
Mr. Corrente, any objections from you?
No objections here.
So I'd like to make a motion to renew the application for Mrs. Fleming to practice occupational therapy.
I'll second that. This is Shelley Donald.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously to approve the renewal licensure application. So we do still have the second part of that, which is regarding the violation of the ARS 32-3208. Any further discussion on that, or anyone want to try a motion?
Yes, sure.
So Sean, I will make another motion, a motion to open a complaint on Mrs. Fleming's due to failure to report the incident in a timely manner, therefore violating ARS 32-3208.
Chris. Go ahead, Shelley.
This is Shelley Donald. I will second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Right. Motion carries unanimously. Moving on then to agenda item 8C. Renewal applications for denial for failure to submit a complete application. We have the matter of 8C1, Alyssa Brasse. Is Ms. Brasse with us today?
Mr. Daly, board members, she was invited but did not confirm attendance.
All right, in that case, in a very brief review, Ms. Brasse's OTA license expired on February 10th, 2025. She did submit a renewal OTA licensure application on that same day, February 10th, 2025. Board staff issued an application deficiency notice on February 12th, 2025, where she was missing a completed Arizona Statement of Citizenship or Alien Status for Public Benefits form, as well as proof of Arizona citizenship status documentation. There has been emails and messages sent and no response. And we are past the allotted amount of time for a response. And we have had quite a few of these in recent board meetings, and I guess since February, we're at a few months now and no response. We have to make the decision if we are going to at this point deny the licensure renewal application due to failure to meet those minimum requirements for licensure renewal. Is there any discussion? Yes, Mr. Williams.
I would like to make a motion to deny this application for Mrs. Brasse due to failure to meet the minimum requirements for ARS 41-1080.
This is Shelley Donald. I second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving on then to agenda item 8C2, the matter of Mary Osborne. Is Miss Osborne here with us today?
Mr. Daly, I apologize. I had my hand up just.
Oh, sorry, Miss Ganatra.
That's okay. No, just to bring us, if I could, just back to 8B2 for Miss Lorenda Fleming. It was just recently found that Miss Fleming does have a restriction on her fingerprint clearance card. That was changed recently. So I'm just making that known. I know a motion was passed, and I know that a complaint has been opened. I'm just wanting to inform the board members should that impact any sort of decision making.
Ms. Ganatra, did that happen to be a driving restriction? Work purposes?
It appears as such, yes.
And is that something if attested to and submitted, is that something that is recognized by the board as a valid level one fingerprint clearance card with that driving restriction?
That is correct, Mr. Daly. It's a valid fingerprint clearance card with a restriction. So it's considered okay. A valid fingerprint clearance card.
So if she worked in home health, that could potentially impact her job, but I don't know if that would change my mind here.
Well, I think we've already denied the application, so she would have to renew it and submit any further documents.
This is a different case.
We approved. This is gone one above. We've approved.
Sorry, Mr. Williams. We're back to 8B2, the matter of Lorenda Fleming.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong person here.
That's okay. If it assists the board members, I can explain and how the board handles these types of matters with the fingerprint clearance card. Is that if we receive a fingerprint clearance card ID number and we search and determine that there is a restriction, we'll reach out to the individual if they have not prior disclosed to determine what is the restriction on the fingerprint clearance card. However, it appears it's reversed in this manner where we were informed of the restriction prior to the fingerprint clearance card being restricted.
So with the restrictions, does that mean that it doesn't mean that she can't drive? Necessarily, she may be restricted to drive in certain times of the day, things like that, correct? Or she may be required to only drive to work?
I don't know specifics. I just know that whatever statute they cite is the one that we typically will review and then provide to the board to determine what the restriction is for specifically.
So then do we need to rescind the motion and look further into the restriction?
I believe that would be up to you all as board members to determine if you'd like to proceed that route. However, keep in mind there is an open complaint now that was just recently opened by the board.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, members of the board, keep in mind that, you know, the as Ms. Ganatra said, you know, the requirement for the renewal is that they possess a valid fingerprint clearance card. And she meets that requirement. She does. It just happens to be restricted. As Chairman Daly pointed out, if there's repercussions related to what she can do professionally, that's an employment issue, not a board issue.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. I don't see the need to do anything else at this point.
With the complaint being open, what does that mean? If the complaint is still open, can a stipulation be put in there as long as she cannot participate in any, you know, or that she can withhold her license continuously but not work in a capacity that would contradict her? restrictions, or do we not need to worry about it?
Yeah, I don't believe so, Mr. Williams. I think if my memory is correct, the complaint was open for the limited basis of failure to timely disclose. Was that it? I could be misremembering cases too. I apologize.
Yes.
But so I think the complaint is just limited to that, Mr. Williams, just her failure to timely report to the board a charge. And it's completely, yeah, it's independent of any restrictions that might have been placed on her clearance card.
Okay.
Thank you.
So considering that her current valid level one fingerprint clearance card, although it has a restriction, does not impact approval for licensure by the executive director, I don't have a concern to go back to that personally.
Agreed. Thank you.
Any opposition though? Well, hearing no opposition and all of the clarifications, seems like we can, we just had a little discussion again about that agenda item. Nothing has changed. And we are moving back to agenda item 8C2, the matter of Mary Osborne. And Ms. Osborne, I do not believe is in attendance. Just clarifying, Ms. Osborne, are you in attendance with us today?
Mr. Daly, Chair, board members, we did invite Ms. Osborne and she did not confirm attendance.
All right, considering that then in brief review, Ms. Osborne submitted an OT renewal application on February 6th for a license set to expire on February 12th, 2025. A deficiency notice was sent by board staff to the applicant on February 7th, 2025, regarding a missing level one fingerprint clearance card attestation. And I do not believe there may have been one communication, but in any case, it is now 3 months later and the licensure renewal application has failed to meet those minimum requirements. Any discussion about this particular one?
So in this situation, she did indicate she's no longer living in Arizona. She just wants to keep her license active. Recap, she has not, she still does not have a current fingerprint clearance card. So under the statutes here, sorry about this, guys. I'd like to make a motion.
Yes,
I'd like
please.
To make a motion to deny the application for Ms. Mary Osborne based on ARS 32-3430A, failure to meet the minimum requirements by having a fingerprint clearance card.
This is Shelley Donald. I'll second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Michael Corrente.
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving on then to agenda item 8C3, the matter of Stephanie Long. Our renewal application. Is Ms. Long here with us today?
Same for Ms. Long, Mr. Daly, board members. She was invited but did not confirm.
All right, then in that case, in very brief review, Ms. Long submitted an OT renewal application on February 21st, 2025 for a license set to expire on February 22nd, 2025. A deficiency notice was sent by board staff to the applicant on March 6, 2025 regarding missing the level one fingerprint clearance card attestation. And I do not believe there has been any response since then.
Correct.
Any discussion for on this particular matter?
I just have a question, and not that I'm not, it doesn't matter because she doesn't have the fingerprint clearance card, but I saw somewhere that she's deficient in CEUs as well. Is that true? In the initial communication, maybe, or?
Oh, you are correct about that, Miss Donald. Now it's jogging my memory. There was a response, and it was pertaining to the CEUs, and then she did provide evidence of the CEUs and a photocopy of a like a paper fingerprint card that is no longer accepted, and that's where things ended. You are correct.
Mr. Daly, I made that same mistake. That is an example of a fingerprint card. It's not hers specifically.
Oh, it's not. Okay, so she provided the CEUs, but then nothing in regards to fingerprints at all.
Correct, yes.
Okay, thank you,
Ms. I just wanted to correct what I thought, just to make sure, you know, in my own head. But yeah, I can go ahead and make a motion if nobody else has anything to questions.
Yes, please.
Okay. This is Ms. Long, correct? Yes. I would like to make a motion to deny the renewal application for Ms. Long, as she has failed to meet the fingerprint clearance card requirement as set forth in ARS 323430.
Mr. Sean, I second that motion.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving on then to agenda item 9. Consent agenda, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. We have 9A, 38 initial applications, 9B, 65 renewal applications, and 9C, 4 reinstatement applications. Any discussion here whatsoever? Hearing no discussion, I move to ratify the 38 initial, 65 renewal, and 4 reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director.
This is Shelley Donald. I second that.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Moving on then to agenda item 10, review, consideration, and possible action, board business and reports with Ms. Ganatra.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. I will move to 10A, which is bills to watch. So just to provide a brief overview, I typically will add in the items to watch as just a way to inform. And if anything changes, we bring that information to the board. So this is just an inform, or if anyone wants to bring one up at the next meeting to be reviewed, you know, should it be a hot topic item. That being said, there's a few that were dropped off the list, and I do want to pass it over to Ms. Selman, and she can provide a brief overview.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. All righty. The bill SB 1235, we did confirm that did die. So that was removed from the list. The bill HB 2368, that bill was signed, and you have an updated chapter version uploaded for your review. And then HB 2927 was vetoed, and it will be removed on the upcoming meeting. Those are the updates as of now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Are there any questions or anything on that topic? Okay, then I will pass it back to you, Mr. Daly, for the chairperson's report, item 10B.
All right, thank you, Ms. Ganatra. So 10B1 updates on OT licensure compact. We do have a few to go through here listed out, and I'm just checking the agenda real quick. All right, so Ms. Ganatra, does the most current agenda have an item 8? Is it 10B2 statutes and rules exam?
Yes, Mr. Daly, we did include that from the last meeting. However, that seems to be a duplicate to what you'll discuss one item below it. So
perfect.
And necessary. Yeah.
And just in case it doesn't fully address that, in one of the items below, one of the requirements for the OT compact is it would have been to alert the compact commission if Arizona did in fact require a jurisprudence exam, and we do not, so we have no action item on that. So just to clarify, there is no jurisprudence exam required for Arizona, and then nothing needed to be reported to the compact commission regarding that. So moving from that to 3, rules and bylaws adapted by the OT Compact Commission. So there are a few items that we just need to kind of discuss and figure out where we're going to go from. So item 1, OT Compact Rule on National Exam Definition. And I don't believe I need to go and read this rule verbatim. It simply just states that we as a board need to require a passing score on a national exam. The only recognized one at this point in time is NBCOT, and that is something that we do in fact have in place at this time. So we have no action to take on that item in particular. Any questions about that before I go to the next one? Okay, hearing no questions, the next one is the OT compact rule on OT compact fees. So that has been adopted as of April 16th, and 1 month later, which is actually today, it is in effect. So the fee was set for the administrative fee for the compact. So it is now going to be up to us to set our state fee. So at this point, this was just to bring awareness to it, but this is one item that we will need to add to our agenda to have that discussion. Ms. Ganatra, would this be the appropriate place to make a motion on that to add to the agenda?
Actually, if you wouldn't mind just including that at the end, when it's agenda items to include for next meeting, since yours is just a report out.
Perfect. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So that'll be one action item for us to take. That will be certainly the easier one, just to set our fee. And then looking at item 3, the OT compact rule on member state implementation. And if I may, I will just so we're not missing anything here, I'm opening up the rule. I just followed the link. I'm opening up the rule itself. And there are 4 items required under implementation by new member states. So this is what we as a state, a board, agreed that we would do to be a participating member of the OT compact. So it does state that a member state cannot participate in issuing or recognizing compact privileges to practice until such member state has completed all of the following requirements. item A on that list, which is separate, we'll get to, is to fully implement the FBI criminal background check requirement established in the implementation of criminal background check rule. So that is one that we will have to address. But sticking with the other items under implementation by new member states, item B is to require continuing competence in education for renewal for occupational therapists and occupational therapy assistants. It does not go on to specify any certain number of hours or anything that would be required in addition to what we are doing right now. So we will, there's no action for us to take there. That is already implemented by us. Item C is to utilize, and this is from the item before, utilize only a recognized national examination as a requirement for licensure. And that is currently our, that is our current practice as a board. So there's absolutely nothing up for us to do there. And then the one other item is to fully implement the requirements of the data system reporting requirements rule, which we may need to chat a little bit about. So looking back to it, to the agenda, we just kind of reviewed member state implementation. And you know what I'll do, Ms. Ganatra, for the agenda items for the next meeting, I will just specifically state that about the data system, because there'll be a little bit of discussion there. And it's also just listed out separately again here, the OT compact rule on FBI criminal background checks. So that is one that we will need to address. So I'll, for when the discussion point comes up a little later, there'll be three agenda items for the following meeting, and it will be the OTC fees, the FBI criminal background checks, and the data system implementation. So just those three items for further discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. And I'll leave them outside of your report for the next agenda, so that way we can actually take action on those items as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ms. Ganatra. Back to you.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
I have a question regarding the OT compact rules. When it talks about setting our own fees, are they just stating that we need to adjust our fees as we see fit, or?
And that will kind of be the agenda item. We'll just need to have a discussion about what our fee will be. Will it be will it be our regular fee? Will it be different? That'll kind of be what we decide on.
Yeah, and I hope this helps, Mr. Daly, in supplement to what you were saying. But I believe it's establishing potentially a fee as to, you know, because if you consider the fact that they're not going through the application process, so they're not going to technically go through an application fee, and it wouldn't be something that the board would receive. So instead, the board potentially could receive a fee to allow an individual from another state to elect to be licensed in this state as per the license reciprocity. So, and that's a good question in terms of how that works for our statutes and rules as well. In terms of when we establish a fee, we always have to go through GRC and, you know, the Governor Regulatory Review. And that typically takes some time to get it established in our rules. But the compact was signed. So that's something that, you know, we are one of the states that were elected to participate. So there's just probably some gray areas we need to research on and see where we land and how we would establish that. And it sounds like the board staff would need to do some research as well. I hope that helps, Mr. Daly. I don't know if I completely mangled what you were saying.
That is correct. And I do believe the fee that they set for, there's the fee that goes to the Compact Commission. And I can tell you really quickly here, they set that fee and it was approved. And that fee that goes to the Compact Commission is $75. And then for the agenda item, it goes on to say, so that $75 goes to the OT Compact Commission. And then for state fees, it goes on to say member states may establish their state fee in accordance with the member state's required processes to be paid by the licensee. So we have full authority over what that fee will be that is paid to Arizona. But I think, well, I can't say that. So that's all I can say, I guess, right now.
This is Shelley. I have a question, or maybe it's something, you know, I've looked up some things online. I am curious if in our next board packet, or maybe Ms. Ganatra, you could email us just a good website to get a nice overview of this, just for some information so I've got some background. I like I said, I've looked at it, but I'd like something that's trustworthy that I could read before we enter into these discussions for whenever it's agendized, I guess next month.
Absolutely.
Is that possible?
Yes, yes. And Ms. Donald, we did drop in some folder files that Mr. Daly was referencing, but we'll add that in again next month as well, so there's a bit more context sooner. But please do take a look, and if you need more context, absolutely. I'll give you the website. And
yeah, where is it? I don't even see it because I did look, but, you know, my computer skills are trash. Well,
it probably wasn't until recent, so you probably hadn't seen it. It's titled Rules and Bylaws Adopted by the OT Licensure Compact. It's a folder, and then it contains a few files that Mr. Daly was referencing.
Okay.
All right. Take your time reviewing it because we're not taking any action today. We're just simply, just informing.
And it's easy to remember. It's otcompact.gov, and you'll find everything there for public review.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Sure.
Well, thank you, Mr. Daly, and I appreciate the discussion, board members. It's very helpful. Okay, then I will move on to 10C, which is my executive director's report. Under item one, the sunset audit. We are still undergoing the sunset audit. It appears we may be closing in on the tail end of the audit. So once that's finalized, I'll provide once I'm receiving of the report, receipt of the report, I'll put it into the board members' files to review, and then we can have a discussion in regards to the audit. And then, of course, we have the opportunity to respond to the findings as well. So. Other questions on that, I will move on to 10C2, which is update on paper renewal application transition. So just as a reminder, I believe it was sometime last year, the board members voted to remove the option for the paper application in the efforts of transitioning to an all-electronic digital interface, which is in alignment with the previous governor's initiative when we all went to Thentia. That being said, as a safe measure and with, you know, some of the things that's been going on with other boards lately that kind of potentially may have hit the news in regards to Thentia, we thought it best to bring it to the governor's office just to let the governor policy advisor make aware that we are going all electronic. And upon doing so, it appears that the guidance is that we maintain a paper application until it appears to be fit to remove it, because of the fact that, you know, Thentia is still not at its fullest capacity in its functionality, and so using a paper application would allow for an individual to still timely submit their renewal should there be any problems with the system until the system is at a better place. So just giving that update. So we'll still have that available. We don't get as many as we did. We still do get those frequently, but not as much as prior. So, you know, as we get them, we input them in manually. Any questions on that? Okay, then I will move on to 10C3, which is financial review. I dropped in the most recent report of the finances that our staff, Ms. Watkins, processed, and this is the last of the finances before we hit the end of the fiscal year.
We still don't know what we've received, if any, appropriation and increase for next fiscal year, and they have not passed the budget just yet. Once they do, which I'm hoping is very soon, we'll bring that update to you at the next board meeting. We will still remain in the black, but I did provide the invoices to Thentia because that is something I was informing the board that potentially we could be invoiced before the end of the fiscal year. But it appears that we just recently, I want to say about 2 days ago, received an email from the leader of Thentia who put together a project plan for what's outstanding. And for full transparency, I brought it to the board just so you can review and take a look and see what's still remaining as per their statements. Some of these items, as we've described, are things like attachments and historical files that have not been placed or mapped properly. And it looks like they are quoting out a 12-week time frame upon myself approving this plan. If there's any concerns or questions, I'm happy to bring it to the next board meeting before I make that approval to Thentia. I know that you all as board members don't know the nuances, specifics necessarily, other than what we've described. So I'm certain that you if you have questions, I'm happy to answer. You may not be able to speak specifically to if these are accurate, but I will say that that's some of the issues that we face is not having our historical files and attachments, but it appears they've put a plan together to allow that. And so this all correlates to the invoice that we received, just to kind of give you an idea of the finances, which we'll incorporate if we're required to pay by the end of the fiscal year. However, I believe this plan indicates that invoice may not hit till next fiscal year. So because I've gotten this email, I just need to seek clarification now to determine if that they're still requiring payment. And of course, if they are not, then that money will likely just be reverted back to the fund since it won't allow the board enough time to shift into, purchasing board needs if necessary. Any questions on that sent to your process? Finances.
My only question is, we have not paid anything yet. Is that correct because of all of the issues?
You're absolutely correct, Ms. Donald. Because we've been fighting to advocate for the board, we were not required to pay last fiscal year for any of. And so this would have been the quote of which we would have gotten to make payment to. But Thentia did not charge us for the whole year. Because, we push back on the fact that we don't have a complete system.
For sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the clarification.
You're very welcome. Yes. Okay, then I will move on to 10C4, which is review of recent board staff activities. I'm happy to give a partial report out, and then I'd like to pass it over to Alaris to give a little bit more insight on processing applications. So the board is working a hybrid model. We still continue to meet with the auditors as needed and provide the expected items as requested. We are still doing Thentia meetings to ensure that we are getting the expectations met for our system. And then proceeding with daily tasks. Currently, we have three initial submitted applications that are pending review. We have 37 that are deficient, and the remainder have been approved. So you'll likely see quite a bit in the consent agenda next month because those approvals did occur this week. For renewals, we have 45 that are submitted, and just for some insight on renewals, I did approve greater than 200 this week. And Randy and Alaris did a fantastic job of getting through all of those applications. It was quite a bit. Just for some context, we've had, I would say, approximately five a day that have been submitted on average. The greatest or highest day that we received was 13 renewals in one day. So it is a high renewal period at this time. And we do appreciate to all those on the call and all those that are awaiting that. The consideration that the board receives as we work quickly and efficiently through these applications. And then for reinstatements, we have 0 in submitted and 0 in pending final approval, and we have 6 that are insufficient. And then just a quick reminder for all those on the call that the board has what's considered a continuum or a process of a flow of how these applications are reviewed. So the board will receive an application. Once payment is made to the application, it's considered submitted. Then once the application is reviewed, which the board has 60 days to process a review of the application, if anything is deficient, that application will move to the deficient status. And then the individual would be notified of what was missing or deficient. If the application has everything that's required, then it would move to pending final approval, which would come before me in my queue to be reviewed and approved. My secondary review determines that anything is missing upon my secondary review, I would bring that back to my staff, who would then review and request the necessary information. Then the process from deficiency would come to me as pending final approval. And then from pending final approval, it would be approved. And as a reminder, applications do not have to be approved at a board meeting, and they do not have to show up on the agenda in order for them to be approved. They can be approved by me, and then they're ratified at a later board meeting. But that approval is instantaneous once it's processed and that license is issued. Okay, and then I'll pass it over to Ms. Salmon so she can discuss some of the deficiencies that are seen in applications.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Our most common trend is applicants and licensees. Sometimes they submit a new application upon receiving a deficiency notice. I want to make it clear that the deficiency notice is not a denial of an application. It's informing you of items that might be missed or might have been filled out incorrectly, and we're asking for it to be corrected. More common issues is many of our applicants miss including primary job details in both the initial and renewal applications. I want to remind everyone that a relevant history of 5 years, including field work, is required for initial applications, but an update is, you know, required for your renewal, so that if things have changed since your initial application, updating your employment information and renewal application is definitely helpful, especially making sure that we do have a primary position listed. Okay. Another trend is the use of your legal name on the application. We're seeing that a lot of our licensees and applicants prefer to use their nickname or preferred name, and it needs to match their legal documentation. So if your name is James and you prefer to go by Jim, your application should read James, not Jim. It takes a little extra time to go and get it corrected and to submit that documentation to get it corrected. Apologies. Moving on to our trends seen in continuing education. Signed certificates are a requirement. It's per the rule R443-203. A signed certificate, not a screenshot, is required. We're seeing that we are receiving quite a few screenshots, and it holds up the process. We have to ask for the actual certificate. So we want to, you know, make it known that providing the actual certificate and making sure that an instructor's signature is present on that certificate would go very far in helping the process move along a little faster. In regards to citizenship forms, we're seeing the trend of our population filling out the country instead of the county. So just being clear in filling out the form and slowing down to make sure you're providing the correct information. We are seeing that for our initial applications, we're receiving the verification of certification from NVCOT instead of the score transfer. The score transfer is what is needed and required, as that tells us what the passing exam score was and when you passed. That document helps us move forward. Getting the other document elongates the process, as we have to deficiency notice for receiving the incorrect document. Okay, moving on. For licensee verifications, please be prompt. If you know that you are going to fill out an initial application, it might be a good idea to reach out to the other states that you might have held licensure in or hold licensure in to obtain your licensure verification timely. Requesting it after the submission of your application does elongate the time frame, as we have to wait for that document to arrive from that state. Okay. I just want to again reiterate that fieldwork is needed for an initial application. A lot of our population doesn't necessarily feel that fieldwork is relevant. However, fieldwork is relevant, especially for an initial applicant. So it would behoove our initial population to put that on their application. And then reiterating Ms. Ganatra's note in regards to the timeframes. The board has 60 days to review a complete application. If an application is incomplete, it might extend the review process. You'll have 60 days to correct any deficiencies. And then and after receiving the deficient item, we'll go and review it again. So the entirety of the review period is potentially 120 days. We don't try to make it 120 days, but we do have an allowable amount of time for that to allow for the back and forth of you submitting your information, you receiving a deficiency, and then, you know, correcting that deficient item. And then the last notes is a system issue. We're still working to correct that as the issue arises. Licensees with expiration dates in January, February, or March of 2025 may experience a system error where incorrect dates are being shown for expiration. We're working through those as they arise. And that is all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Thoman.
Can I give you guys a shout out? Is this an appropriate time to do that?
I think any time. Appreciate it.
Well, I got to tell you, in full on disclosure, I know you guys, it's a busy time of year, and I was deficient. I won't lie. I took a picture or submitted my scan the right to work form. I scanned the first page twice. And I give you guys, I'm like, I turned in both pages. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh, no, I turned in the. So I give you guys, you're going through a ton of documents. The fact that you're finding pictures, that you're finding like, and I apologize for wasting your time. I've been doing this for 30 some years and I have never done anything as dingbatty as that. So I give you guys a lot of credit for the amount of documentation that you're handling and looking at it and getting back to people in a timely fashion. I really appreciate the diligence that the office staff is doing. And I was like, I was super embarrassed. The only thing I got stuck on, other than sadly not being able to scan two pages, was when I got two emails that, and I just wanted to bring this to your attention. One of them, I think, was a PDF of my boo-boo, and the other was the actual what I needed to do. And when I got the PDF, I kept clicking on, it was funny. Like, I kept clicking on, I'm like, wait, it says I need to.
I think Ms. Donald froze, or maybe it's just me. I don't.
No, I think she's frozen.
Okay.
Yeah, she looks frozen for me as well.
But, Ms. Salmon makes a good point, though, that, you know, as Ms. Salmon had mentioned, there's quite a bit of information that the board goes through. So, you know, the staff is doing a fantastic job catching those items, but anything that is missed and comes to my secondary review is typically why sometimes the time frame increases. But the board is in what I would call real-time application reviews and approvals at this time. We are in the month of May for initial and renewal applications and reinstatements, since there are none at this time. So we do appreciate the kudos, Ms. Donald, when you jump back in. Thank you. Oh, Ms. Donald, you're on mute.
I think my laptop just totally died. But anyway, long story short, it was a little confusing where I needed to go to click on to correct my deficiency. And I don't know whether you generate something and Thentia does, but that's the only, that was my only confusion other than the initial. So thank you guys for your hard work. And that might be something to look at.
Thank you, Ms. Donald. I agree with you, and actually just had a conversation similarly yesterday with one of the individuals at the Pima Medical Institute who had mentioned that there wasn't any sort of description of how to upload that information. And it appears it was removed from our deficiency notice, so we are re-adding that back in terms of the guidance. So currently, if something is deficient, it should be emailed back to the board. So from the email that the board sends, the individual should respond to that email with the deficient items. Currently, Thentia is just not built in the way that we can accept a document or someone to open the application back up into the document in order to upload the missing information. So the best way to do it is through the email. Or of course through the portal, is in the messaging portal. We do send a copy of the message in the email and a copy of the message in the messaging portal. So that way, if an individual gets it one way or the other, at least at one point they'll get something. So it's very helpful, I think, in that way. So thank you, great feedback, and we really appreciate the kudos. And I give my staff so much kudos as well. They are doing fantastic. We've got a lot going on, and we're in a good place in my mind. So.
Thank you, guys.
One last thing I'll just discuss on review of recent board staff activities is that we have an agenda item for next meeting that I have already included in the agenda, and it's a review and discussion of the ADOA GAO letter. There was a letter that was circulated, and it was something that was out of context, it appears. So we are going to be reviewing and providing a guidance to the board as to some of the items that were identified, just to provide some context surrounding that letter. So that will just be likely at next meeting, or if not July, if we choose to do it in person. But I believe majority of our board members will be in Zoom, so it might be a helpful way to review it all together. Anyways, thank you very much. And if there's any questions, please reach out to me. And so then I will move on to 10C5, which is statistics. So with the statistics, there was just a minor fix that was not made on the agenda before publishing. So Ms. Selman does have the correct numbers that she will provide us with. Ms. Selman?
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Specifically, the telehealth was not reported correctly on the agenda. It should be reported as 4 telehealth applications, not 1. And the current active licensee total is 4,714, not 4,715. Those are the corrections.
Thank you, Ms. Summon. So just to piggyback off of that, there are currently 3,280 occupational therapists, 1,432 occupational therapy assistants, 1 occupational therapy assistant limited licensee, and then 1 occupational therapy limited licensee. Any questions? Then I will bring it back to Mr. Daly. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Moving on then to agenda item 11, agenda items for the next meeting. And we did just capture from Ms. Ganatra review and discussion of letter dated April 23rd, 2025 from the Arizona Department of Administration, ADOA, General and General Accounting Office, GAO. Going back to the agenda items pertaining to the OT compact for the next meeting, and Ms. Ganatra, I'll email these to you with the links as well, but just so we do our due diligence, the 4 items will be OT compact rule on OTC fees, administrative and state, OT compact rule on member state implementation, OT compact rule on FBI criminal background checks, and OT compact rule on data system reporting requirements.
Thank you, Mr. Daly.
Thank you. Other than that, are there any additional agenda items for the next meeting?
I have a question about the subcommittees. Have we discussed that further on the statutes and rules? I know earlier this year we were discussing having a subcommittee, but I don't know if that's been.
Thank you, Mr. Rowland. We can add that as an agenda item for next month too, and then I'd reach out to discuss further as to when we would reconvene.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Williams.
Is it possible to discuss the fiscal year budgeting? I was doing some numbers myself on the future of the budget, and I was thinking we could talk about that and the actual licensing rates, because I came up with some ideas. So.
Absolutely, Mr. Williams. We can add that in for next meeting. And I'll see if Ms. Watkins can attend as well, as she does our finance piece of things. So that way we have a better idea.
Thank you. Okay. Anything additional? Any further questions or discussion? Hearing nothing additional, I move to adjourn our meeting today at 3:17 p.m.
I second that if you need a second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Christopher Daly?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Michael Corrente?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you so much, everyone. Hope you all have a great weekend. Great seeing everybody.